Assalamu alaikum, this is Zulf Shah. You're listening to the Remap Your Mind podcast, where I will be talking about mindsets, relationships, religion, culture, and spiritual afflictions.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Remap Your Mind. Today we're diving into a fascinating topic, understanding personality styles, not only in human, but also in jinn. We'll explore how these styles influence behavior, relationships, and even influence spiritual experiences. Just as people have different temperaments, some being open and expressive, while others are more reserved or reactive, jinn also exhibit distinct personality types. And recognizing these differences helps us better understand interactions, whether in our daily life or during ruqya. And it also allows us to approach these experiences with more awareness and strategy. So understanding these personality styles, I believe, is especially important for families supporting someone who may be experiencing ruqya-related issues, and being able to differentiate between what is natural human behavior from potential jinn influence can make a huge difference, as understanding these dynamics also helps family members recognize when personality shifts may be linked to ruqya-related experiences, allowing them to respond with patience and support rather than frustration or misjudgment. Instead of dismissing the person's struggles as just their personality, this knowledge empowers families to create a more stable and supportive environment that actually helps the healing process. We won't cover every single detail, but we'll explore enough to understand how human and jinn personalities overlap when intertwined. So if we start by looking at human personality styles, you've probably heard of models like the Big Five traits: openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. And just like in humans, where you have people who are naturally open and talk freely without holding back, and those who are more reserved or those who are extroverted and social, jinn also show different tendencies. Some jinn may act in a way that mirrors extroverted personalities, openly communicating and engaging, while others may be more reclusive, preferring to work in the background and influence subtly. Similarly, just as some people are agreeable and easy to get along with, while others are confrontational and difficult, jinn can display similar behavioral patterns. Some might pretend to be cooperative, offering misleading information, while others might resist forcefully. And then you have those that are impulsive and emotionally unstable, similar to how neuroticism is described in human psychology, where mood swings and unpredictability play a role. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned that jinn, like humans, have different types, ranks, and even social structures. He explains in Majmu' al-Fatwa that some jinn take the form of animals or beasts, such as snakes or dogs, and that they sometimes attach to humans. He also explains how some jinn are more beast-like, while others are more intelligent and calculated. Some may act on instinct, driven purely by impulse, while others display more complex reasoning. The Quran also tells us that jinn, like humans, have free will and diverse personalities. In Surah Al-Jinn, it says in verse 11, "There are among us some that are righteous and some the contrary. We are groups, each having a different way." This verse shows that jinn also possess varying characteristics and motivations. The jinn themselves testify in the surah that they share similarities with humans. They have cultures, allegiances, and motivations. And this can mean that a jinn involved in possession or causing harm might do so with a certain agenda, be it religious, political, or ideological. And prior to the revelation of the Quran, there were jinn who followed earlier revealed scriptures, such as the Torah and the Injil. And when the jinn heard the Quran, they acknowledged its truth, recognizing it as confirming the previous messages, as mentioned in Surah Al-Ahqaf, where they said, "O our people, indeed we have heard a book revealed after Moses, confirming what was before it, which guides to the truth and to a straight path." In some of my previous episodes, we've covered what happens when a jinn possesses a human. So let's have a look at how different human personality types will react uniquely to their jinn type. For example, if we look at empaths and highly sensitive individuals, now these are the people who naturally absorb emotional energy around them. But when it comes to jinn possession, this sensitivity can cause them to internalize the jinn's energy, leading to a lot of confusion. They might find themselves overwhelmed by emotions that feel foreign. Anger, sadness, even fear that seemingly come out of nowhere. It's like their emotional boundaries become blurred, making it hard to separate what's theirs and what isn't. And while empaths tend to feel everything deeply, Analytical and rational types will experience something very different. These individuals are grounded in logic, always looking for a rational explanation. So when they're affected by a jinn, they might struggle with intrusive thoughts or even begin doubting their own reality. It's common for them to feel detached or disconnected, like their mind is being pulled in directions that doesn't align with their usual clear-headed thinking. And then there are those with strong-willed or dominant personalities, those that are confident and assertive, the ones who like to stay in control. Now, when a jinn encounters someone like this, it's almost like a power struggle. These individuals may experience sudden mood swings or bursts of anger, especially if the jinn is trying to challenge their authority. It's not just emotional, sometimes it's physical too. So the energy becomes volatile as the jinn tries to break through their strong mental defenses. As much as it may sound fascinating, it's also unsettling how the jinn's influence can mirror or manipulate someone's core personality and often go undetected, especially during medical or mental health assessments. Now, during ruqya sessions, we often find that some jinn react strongly to specific verses of the Quran. For example, a person might exhibit extreme reactions when verses referencing the Torah are recited. This often indicates a jinn with a Jewish or Zionist ideology, and their motivations might be tied to historical or regional influences. And it's often these rebellious or malicious types of jinn, especially those aligned with shayateen, that induce feelings of hatred, arrogance, or extreme apathy. They can suppress empathy and compassion, leading the person they possess to exhibit traits of narcissism or sociopathy, mirroring Iblis's arrogance and defiance. The possessed individual might adopt gaslighting behaviors, mimicking the cunning nature of Iblis. And just as Iblis refused to bow down to Adam al-Islam out of arrogance, the person may develop superiority complexes, dismissing the feelings and needs of others. Now, this type can be particularly dangerous, as it not only affects relationships, but also blocks spiritual healing. A person displaying narcissistic traits under possession may reject ruqya and healing. They may believe that they don't need help or see themselves as above spiritual practices. They may undermine raqis and people who offer to help. Just as Iblis argued with Allah, they might argue against healing, rationalize negative behavior, and dismiss accountability. They may also inflict harm on others, as a lack of remorse or empathy can lead to them causing physical and emotional harm to those around them, mirroring the demonic intent of spreading discord and misery. And this is one of the most significant types that destroy marriages, and why I believe understanding the connection between jinn and their affiliations, beliefs, and regional influences, as well as their personality styles, is very important in overcoming them and taking back control of your mind. So let's take a deeper dive into how the big five personality traits connect to ruqya-related cases or afflictions, with practical examples to help you recognize these patterns. So a jinn with high openness may exhibit a experimental and manipulative nature. They often test different ways to influence a person's thoughts, planting new intrusive ideas or pushing them toward unusual or extreme beliefs. For instance, a person might suddenly feel drawn to spiritual practices or unexplained ideas they never considered before. They may even develop an affinity for places of worship that don't align with their religious beliefs. This could indicate a jinn's attempts to steer them away from the truth or reflect its own ideological tendencies through the human host. Then there are jinn with low openness. These types will stick to repetitive, predictable behaviors, often aligned with rigid forms of sihr. For example, a patient under sihr tafriq, separation magic, may experience the same intrusive thoughts on repeat, constant feelings that a spouse is untrustworthy no matter the reality. And then we have jinn with high conscientiousness that will display organized, methodical patterns, often linked to long-term sihr or generational sihr. A patient with this type may experience recurring spiritual blockages at specific milestones like marriage or financial success, indicating a jinn working with precision and consistency. And the opposite to that, a jinn with low conscientiousness will cause chaos and impulsive reactions. These types are often behind sudden emotional outbursts or reckless behavior, where a patient may find themselves unable to stick to their ruqya routine, forgetting to recite adhkar, or feeling disorganized and mentally scattered. And moving on to the high extraversion jinn, these types will often be more vocal and confrontational. They often engage directly during sessions, using loud speech, mockery, or aggressive outbursts. During a ruqya session, this type of jinn may openly speak through the patient and even threatening or trying to distract the Iraqi. In contrast to that, an introverted jinn would work silently and subtly influencing thoughts rather than manifesting physically. A patient affected by an introverted jinn may experience persistent whisperings, unexplained fatigue, or emotional numbness without any visible reaction during ruqya. And this quiet approach doesn't necessarily mean the jinn is introverted by nature and that's why it's not vocal. It's also important to note that, like humans, some jinn are mute and physically unable to speak. Despite their silence, they can still function in every other way, manipulating thoughts, draining energy, and maintaining their influence. And then there are those that are either hostile or compliant. The low agreeableness hostile type jinn are combative. They will be resistant to leaving and they enjoy creating conflict. So for example, during Sihr Tafriq, these types of jinn will repeatedly fuel marital arguments and manipulate both parties to mistrust each other, even when there is no logical reason. The opposite type with high agreeableness, in particular those that accept Islam, during ruqya, these types are easier to expel, and the patient may experience an easier healing process when the jinn is willing to comply with Quranic commands and leave peacefully. And finally, we have neuroticism, the emotionally reactive type jinn that will cause intense mood swings, anxiety, and heightened emotional reactions. So for example, the patient may experience uncontrollable crying, panic attacks, or extreme irritability without any clear cause. And the opposite to this type, the low neuroticism, emotionally detached jinn would operate in a cold, calculated manner, often linked to generational or deep-rooted sihr, where the patient may feel emotionally numb or detached from loved ones, a clear sign the jinn is draining emotional sensitivity. And by recognizing these patterns, you can better understand what's happening spiritually. And inshallah, this will also help you regain control. But it's not always as straightforward as that, as it's rarely just one jinn possessing a person. In most cases, especially when sihr is involved, there are multiple jinn, often due to a binding contract on the afflicted individual. This may also explain the origins of the term multiple personality disorder. And to add to this, I think it's equally important to understand what happens when a jinn of the opposite gender possesses a human. So when this happens, it can create many disruptions, serious disruptions that would affect both the psychological and biological systems, leading to irregular hormone production. And this can manifest through mood swings where the jinn's energy may disrupt hormonal regulation, causing sudden emotional changes like irritability, anxiety, or even unexplained euphoria. In women, a male jinn's presence might disrupt the menstrual cycle or intensify premenstrual symptoms. A male possessed by a female jinn may experience changes in testosterone levels, leading to lethargy or emotional sensitivity. On the other hand, a woman possessed by a male jinn might display aggression or a dominance shift. This is also how gender dysphoria-like symptoms appear in some individuals that report confusion about their identity or feeling like their gender expression is being influenced. So, for example, a male possessed by a female jinn may adopt more nurturing emotional responses, while a female possessed by a male jinn may exhibit assertiveness, impatience, or controlling tendencies. Some people have reported feeling like they are being pulled towards behaviors or desires inconsistent with their natural disposition. This can also affect a person's emotional and intimate life, as the jinn may project its own desires onto the host, creating feelings of attraction to inappropriate or harmful relationships, or alternatively causing the host to feel aversion to their spouse. They may also experience dreams of being intimate with an unknown figure, which is often a sign of interference from a jinn of the opposite sex. In fact, people have reported sensations of being touched, pressure on the chest, or other things that would be inappropriate to mention, particularly during times of spiritual vulnerability. There have also been cases where jinn disrupt the ability to conceive by causing internal stress or energetic blockages. Now, in some instances, recurring pregnancy loss has been linked to jinn interference, especially when the jinn opposes the marriage union or seeks to create discord between the couple. But then it could be argued that it's easy to assume there's a spiritual or external cause, such as the presence of a jinn that may be causing nurturing and dominance shifts in opposite genders, because these personality shifts may be linked to environmental and developmental factors, and not just a spiritual interference, because the way a person is raised plays a significant role in how they express nurturing or dominant qualities, regardless of their gender. For example, a man who grows up in a home without a father figure may adopt nurturing, emotionally sensitive traits because he models his behavior on the primary caregiver. If the mother is overburdened, he may also feel responsible for providing emotional supports, which can create a deep-rooted caregiving instinct. On the other hand, a woman raised in a household where strength and independence are emphasized, especially if she had to take on leadership roles, may develop dominant assertive behaviors. This is common in homes where a father is absent or where survival requires self-reliance from a young age. So in these cases, personality shifts are adaptive responses to their environment rather than direct signs of gene influence. So when assessing whether these traits stem from life experiences or gene influence, we have to consider consistency over time, emotional autonomy, and the Rukia response. Has this personality pattern existed since childhood, or did it emerge suddenly after a traumatic event or spiritual disruption? Does the person feel in control of these traits, or do they describe feeling pushed or influenced without understanding why? During Rukia, does the person show signs of internal conflict, resistance, or unusual emotional reactions when addressing gender roles or identity? So we have to take all of these considerations into account before drawing conclusions. A personality shaped by upbringing will feel natural and integrated, even if unconventional. In contrast, gene-influenced traits would often feel foreign to the individual and may trigger emotional discomfort or sudden shifts in behavior. And so nurturing or dominant traits in the opposite gender are not solely caused by gene. They can also arise from environmental conditioning, parental modeling, or survival mechanisms in childhood. While opposite sex gene can intensify these tendencies, they are not the only explanation. It would require a more comprehensive assessment that considers both psychological patterns and spiritual influences to understanding the root cause. Nevertheless, all of this, as you can imagine, can create internal confusion and emotional dissonance. In some severe cases, the human mind can react by creating psychological compartments to manage the conflict, a defense mechanism known as dissociation, where the mind separates conflicting influences to maintain stability as a survival strategy when the person cannot consciously process or resolve the internal chaos. And so this is where combining Rukia with therapy can help the person regain their spiritual and mental strength, breaking the influence of both the jinn and the trauma they may have experienced by helping differentiate the jinn's presence from the person's core identity. And so this is why it's important for families supporting someone going through Rukia-related issues like this to understand the difference between natural human behavior and potential jinn influence, so that family members don't misinterpret sudden personality changes as deliberate behavior or emotional instability. So if someone affected by jinn influence has sudden mood swings, unexplained anger or withdrawal, if these behaviors are mistaken for rudeness, laziness or indifference for the person afflicted, it can lead to feelings of frustration or even rejection. Someone who is usually kind and patient may become irritable or withdrawn, and understanding that these changes may not reflect the person's true nature helps families avoid taking things personally or escalating tensions. When families recognize these fluctuations as part of a broader spiritual battle, they can adjust their responses. This might mean allowing the person extra time and space during challenging moments, offering spiritual encouragement, or reinforcing positive behaviors when the person is more themselves. And these adjustments not only create a sense of unity and resilience within the family, but it also creates an environment where the afflicted person feels emotionally anchored, reducing the distress that jinn manipulation often thrives on. And also, knowledge of Rukia-related disturbances encourages the entire household to strengthen their spiritual practices. And I've seen this firsthand, where families who understand these dynamics are more likely to engage in protective actions together, such as performing daily adhkar, reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, and maintaining spiritual cleanliness in the home. When families work together in this way, it not only supports the afflicted person, but also protects everyone from further spiritual harm. And so it's shared commitments like this that can strengthen the family bond and create a more peaceful and spiritually sound environment. And of course, while also understanding that healing from Rukia-related afflictions takes time, and having a supportive family that are patient and understanding not only reduces the emotional stress that jinn exploit, but it also accelerates the healing process. So I hope this sheds light on how human and jinn personalities can intertwine and the impact this can have on our emotional and spiritual well-being. Recognizing these patterns is the first step toward breaking free from their influence and reclaiming control over our lives. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to understand the workings of the unseen realm, give us clarity in recognizing these spiritual challenges, and protect us and our loved ones from the harm of both mankind and jinn. Thank you for tuning in to Remap Your Mind. If you found today's episode helpful, be sure to share it with others who might benefit. Until the next time, take care of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Assalamu alaikum to all my brothers and sisters, wherever you are.